In this last week of Jesus' life, as recorded in Matthew, he's assailed by every Jewish religious group in Jerusalem. They seem to be completely fearful of the growing evidence that Jesus might indeed be their long-awaited Messiah, prophesied in their Torah. And they seem committed to compromise the very rule of law that was instructed in their own Torah. The number 9 commandment we heard 2 weeks ago, Exodus 20. Do not bear false testimony against your neighbor. These guys know that scripture, and yet obviously they are bearing false witness against their neighbor. Jesus understands their motives and calls them hypocrites to their faces. But that doesn't seem to deter them. In this gospel, Matthew records a strange alliance between the Herodians, the normally detested enemy of the Pharisees. They get together, this non-religious, secular Jewish group of Herodians were part of the support team for Herod Antipas. They were appointed by the Roman government to oversee and control the Jewish people in Israel. They weren't religious, but they were Jews. Conversely, the religious Pharisees were against the Roman occupation. They hated being under a pagan king. The Caesar from Rome was considered to be a god by him and by others, supposedly, a divine person. So there was a real problem. Those two wouldn't hardly speak to each other ever. They were totally opposite people, except when it comes to trap Jesus. They were religious and political enemies, yet they had a common bond. They wanted to oppose and destroy the Son of God. They believed Jesus was introducing, clearly, from his messages for the last 3 years, a new kingdom that neither wanted. A new kingdom where they wouldn't be top dogs. A new kingdom where they would not be the authority. They would not be able to walk around and look like heroes. They obviously felt he was a threat. So they decided, we got to get rid of this guy. So they devised a plan, and they did it together, and they felt it was foolproof. And I think it really was quite good. They could trap Jesus with this question, in your opinion, Jesus, what is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, that's a well-designed question. The answer would give either party the right to take Jesus into custody and neutralize his threat. And they could strangle the growing movement of people who were following the way, as Jesus' followers were called. Yeah, seems to be a good strategy. It would ensnare him. If Jesus agreed that it was right to pay tax to Caesar, then the Pharisees could come up and say, oh, by golly, you're just terrible. You're honoring a pagan, worshiping Roman Caesar instead of Jehovah God. It would seem that the Pharisees would be able to grab him and say, oh yeah, all us Jewish people chafing under Roman authority, and you're saying, yeah, give your money to Jesus, to the Caesar. Yes, that's the right thing. On the other hand, Jesus, if he said he was opposing giving taxes to Caesar, the Herodians, who represented the government, would be able to come on and say, oh, you're declaring anarchy against the state. And they too would be able to neutralize Jesus, grab him and take him into custody. Well, seems like a pretty good plan. Brilliant, really. You remember that joke we used to do when we were kids? Heads I win, tails you lose. Have you heard that one, Felicia? Heads I win, tails you lose. Did you ever play that game? Of course. They were boxing him in. Is Jesus going to betray God, or is he going to betray Rome? Click. Jesus simply asked for a coin and asked them an obvious question. Whose picture is on the coin? And what is the inscription? And they answered, Caesar's image, Emperor Tiberius. And the inscription says, Son of the Divine Augustus. They clearly identified that it is the Roman ruler's coins. He created it. It was his. So Jesus answers. He says, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And the citizens of Israel under Roman occupation and rule, why? It can be used to pay taxes. They only accepted the denarius, so the Jews did have to pay taxes. That was Jesus' suggestion. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. It's his image on there. It's his inscription. He made it. Give it back. In other words, people, Jesus was saying, the facts are we live under the authority of Rome, and we have to help pay for the services of Rome and the benefits we receive, like road maintenance, which they were very good at, peace and security, which was Pax Roma, was pretty strong and pretty good. We may not like it, I think Jesus is saying, right? We may even despise it. But in our situation that we're finding ourselves, we're required to persevere until something changes. So give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And then Jesus makes this profound statement. He says, give to God what is God's. He makes it clear that we live on earth, but our citizenship is in heaven. Give unto God what is God's. So whom do we belong? Well, I want you to look around this morning. Would you look around, take a moment, pause, and look at the faces of each other in this room, please. Take a look at the person and realize Aegis, the image of each of us in this room, well, it's the image of God. Why do you know that? Click. In Genesis 1, the very, very first book of the Word of God, the very first chapter of this book, God said, let us make mankind. Let's make women and men, children and boys, in our image, in our own likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. There can be no doubt. What Jesus means here, my friends, give yourselves to God because it is to him that you belong. Not Caesar. Give money to Caesar. That's great. But give yourself to God. And we are under authority of God himself, the living God, the creator of the universe, of all that is and ever shall be. That's the God that we honor. We give to God what is God's. After all, we bear the image. Some of us have curly hair. Some of us have straight hair. Some of us have no hair. You know? We're all different shapes and sizes, but we all bear the image of God himself. That's in the book we believe is true. So, while we're here on earth, yes, we can give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Governments are necessary. Taxes may be necessary. In every country, there happens to be a Caesar of sorts. Sometimes it seems like we belong to Caesar, doesn't it? Sometimes taxes get higher and higher. There's legal restrictions on our freedoms by the government. and there's imprisonment if you engage in civil disobedience to the country that you're living in. So, Jesus is saying, render unto Caesar whatever is due. But don't mess around with the things that belong to God. It is God who claims us, who has made us in his image. We do not belong to anything or anyone other than God himself. And you know, I think that's the most challenging part of the problem. If you're a new convert to Christian, or you've been a Christian for a long time, we know that our God is a God of forgiveness. He's the God of mercy. We keep talking about it all the time already in this service. He's the God of second chances. And we are thankful and we praise that our God gives us salvation through his son Jesus. But boy, those are wonderful blessings, aren't they? Knowing that because we are God's children, we are blessed beyond measure. But it's hard to render unto God what is God's when it comes to our money. That's an interesting one. The challenge we have received from God and giving back to God in our tithes in a church. Our Anglican network is committed to honoring and obeying the biblical tithe of 10% of our income. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. 1 Chronicles 29. So I think it would be safe to say that Jesus would say, pay the taxes, submit to the rulers and the government of your country as it pertains to non-spiritual matters. But in spiritual matters, obey God's commands. Love God, not idols. Not idols such as money or possessions. And love your neighbor and love others as you love yourself. Because your neighbors are like you. They're God's. They're God's children. Do they know it? Sometimes they don't. But they are. Because like you, they are God's. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we don't do what Scripture forbids. Now let me repeat that. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we don't do what Scripture forbids. And we don't render unto Caesar what is God's. We don't render unto Caesar what is God's. Now, that's pretty hard. We know this book. We study it regularly. So it's pretty hard to travel today as it was in Jesus' day, travel down a road when Caesar's authority over biblical truth and Christian belief collide. The challenge that we face is children of God under his authority comes into a challenge when the government says it's okay to have homosexual marriage, doctor-assisted suicides, government-paid abortions, gender-changing surgery. All that's by the government, and you Christians can't do anything about it because you don't have much of a vote. Not in this country anymore. You're outvoted on a regular basis. So these are tough decisions for Christians, aren't they? Whether it's a province we live in or the country, it's hard to imagine how devoid we are of a Christian worldview in all of our government environments. Disappearing by the week. Now there's going to be consequences for this. There's no question about that. But these are tough times then for a people like you and I in eternal hope. Difficult situations requiring prayer and unusual wisdom and courage to discern the authority of scriptures and our God's teachings over the very matters that we have just said. The government takes over and says it's okay to do all of these things. Use your taxes to do these things which you Christians don't agree with. Tough. There is a significant difference growing and growing in the secular non-Christian worldview of what they consider compassion and caring and what Christians know to be the truth of compassion and caring. The Christian worldview is being outvoted every day in the House of Commons, in the legislatures of the provinces, in the United States, in Britain, all over the world. Civil law versus God's law. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give unto God what is God's. So this is what the kingdom of God is all about, my friends. In the original authentic kingdom for which God prepared us, you and I, he prepared this situation from the beginning of time for you and I. He knew what was going to happen. So Jesus was sent to bring the truth about our Heavenly Father's kingdom. And he did it well. And we know, you and I, that we're valued, that we're honored as children of God, by God. And God's children, as it said in the scriptures earlier, are entitled to peace and comfort despite our situations. Remember this passage we heard today earlier in the Old Testament? My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Something that I want you to appreciate is when you read scriptures, there are times when you should substitute for absolute fact your name. My presence, God is saying to you, Jerry, will go with you. So my presence will go with you, Jerry. When you read the scripture, make it personal so you grab what it really is meant to me. It's not third party. It's very personal. My presence will go with you, William, Bill, Fred, Mary. And I will give you rest. That's what it means to be a child of God. Give unto Caesar, but give unto God what is God's. So God is not going to forsake us. Very clear. It means that we can belong to God. We can belong as people of God. This body of Christ here at Eternal Hope. This is a fellowship of believers. We know the truth. We know that we're baptized into the fellowship of the church of Jesus Christ. And not one of us are going to lose membership in that by turning our backs on God. God is with us. My presence, I go with you. Are we in tough times from time to time? Absolutely. It means that God gives to God. So it means that we give to God, which is belongs to God. Give yourself. That's why you're here. I love it. That's why I'm here. We give ourselves in trust to the loving Savior of this world. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the wisdom that Jesus teaches in this scripture this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it's very clear that we are God's children. And despite the situations we find ourselves in, Lord, your presence is always with us, in us, near us at all times. That your Holy Spirit is filling us constantly, Lord, with our ability to seek the wisdom to live in this challenging time. Thank you, Lord.